Okay, Gavach, everybody. I've mentioned before, and I'd like to repeat now, Sefer Shmos is divided into three different categories. The Parshios of Shmos are really divided by three seminal events, the first being Yetzias Mitzrayim, the second being Maimon Har Sinai, Matan Torah, and the third being Binyan HaMishkan. So if you really try to handle all of Sefer Shmos, you could simply divide it into three events: Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, and Binyan HaMishkan. If you take a look at the actual division of the parshios that are dedicated to each of these events, it is quite interesting to note as follows. The parshios of Shmos, Va'era, and Bo, the first three parshios in Sefer Shmos, are all dedicated to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shmos is the introduction to Moshe Rabbeinu. We start to see the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu asks and almost commands Moshe to go to Mitzrayim to save the Jewish people. Moshe hems and haws about it, ultimately until Moshe acquiesces. Moshe goes to Mitzrayim. We have the 10 Makos culminating with Makos Bechoros. And ultimately, Parshas Bo concludes with the actual Exodus. So if you to take a look at the first three Parshios in Sefer Shmos, Shmos, Va'era, and Bo, those three Parshios are all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The next three Parshios, Bishalach, Yisra Mishpatim, are really dedicated to Matan Torah and Maimar Har Sinai. Although the giving of the Torah, the Aseres Adibros, takes place in Parshas Yisro, prior to that in Parshas Bishalach, we already received the first three commandments as a people, as a nation, at Mara, Shabbos, Kibbud Av V'Em, Dinim. And Mishpatim, of course, is integrally connected to Parshas Yisro and Matan Torah, Maimar Har Sinai. Ve'ele HaMishpatim, that Vav, really ties Parshios Yisro Mishpatim at the hip. So therefore, the next three Parshios, following the three Parshios of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shmos, Va'er, and Bo, is Yisro, Mishpatim, and Bishalach, those three Parshios being the Parshios of Matan Torah, Maimar Har Sinai. The last five Parshios in Sefer Shmos, beginning with a Parsha we read yesterday, Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakel, Pekudei, five Parshios in total, are the Parshios that are dedicated to Binyan HaMishkan. These five parshas, which we began with yesterday, go through in long detail the commandment of God to Moshe to build the Mishkan. Moshe telling the Jewish people to build the Mishkan. How the actual binyan takes place, how Moshe repeats, reviews, watches, guards, and sees that it was filled to do and fulfilled to the ultimate execution. And that takes us through parshas Vayakel and Pekudei. So if you take a look at certainly the number of parshas and certainly the detail. So if I were to ask you which of the three events, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, or Binyan HaMishkan, the building of the tabernacle, which of the three events, seminal events in Jewish history, in Sefer Shmos, were given the most attention, so arguably you would say the latter. It's Binyan HaMishkan. Not only is it five parshios, Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakel, Pekudei, but not only in just in length, and not just only in breadth, but in depth, there is much more time, dedication, psukim, analysis, elucidation, command. Every single aspect of the Mishkan is written. And of course, we are all familiar, anybody who studies Parshas HaShavua knows that the Torah doesn't add anything that is unnecessary. Every word, every pasuk, every parak has significance to it. And therefore, we need to understand why is it that of all three events, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, and Binyan HaMishkan, is it Binyan HaMishkan that gets the most attention? 5 out of the 11 parshios in Sefer Shmos. That's a very significant, almost 50% of Sefer Shmos is dedicated to Binyan Mishkan. 5 out of 11 parshios in Sefer Shmos are dedicated to Binyan Mishkan. And if you count the psukim, there's no question that the lion's share of psukim in all of Sefer Shmos go through the binyan of the Mishkan, from the exterior to the interior, from the interior to the exterior. If you're talking about the aron, the shulchan, the mizbech, achitzah, the mizbech, apnim. If you're talking about the parochas, if you're talking about all of the elements, the aspects of the Kohen Gadol, etc., it is binyan HaMishkan and Big Day Kahuna, which certainly get the most discussion and the heightened attention overall. Now, if you are interested in understanding the development of Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah to Binyan Mishkan, that's a different discussion. I spoke about that. Parsha Shmos, you could take a look. Very fascinating why it is that the Torah divides and builds and has the chronology of Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah to Binyan Mishkan. It's a topic for a different time. But what I'd like to do this week, because we are entering the Parshios of the Mishkan, 5 weeks of laning, dealing with the Mishkan, and often it becomes a time when people tune out and say and ask themselves, you know, what is the Torah doing? Why do we have to read the technicalities of how many amos the Aron was? What type of wood it was built out of? Where it was placed? What is so significant about the Mishkan? So I believe you will walk away today enlightened, I hope, with a very different attitude and understanding and explanation toward the Mishkan. Again, why it is that there are so many parshos, why it is that the majority of Sefer Shmos is the Mishkan, and really with a takeaway as to how to understand the Mishkan, even though we don't have a Mishkan, we don't have a Mikdash, there are some very, very important things that we need to understand about the Mishkan. However, before we read the parshos of the Mishkan and understand the Mishkan, I believe a full understanding of the Mishkan cannot be attained unless you carefully understand Parshas Yisro and Matan Torah. So we're actually going to go back to Parshas Yisro, Perek Yotes, chapter 19, page 402, if you have the Art Scroll Stone Chumash. And I'd like to share with you something that I've shared in the past, but I believe now, with this backdrop in Perek Yotes, you will have a very, very different understanding of the Parshas of the Mishkan. So we're in Parshas Yisro, Perek Yotes, Pasuk Yud. You'll take a look on page 402. Here it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to Moshe, telling Moshe what exactly to tell the Jewish people, how to prepare them for this great event. So let's take a look together. Let's actually start in Pasuk Tes. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, God says to Moshe, Hine Anochi Bo Elecha, I am coming to you, Be'av Ha'anan, in the cloud. I'm coming to you. Now, I think this is a pasuk that often we overlook, but as I'll show you momentarily, I think pasuk test is critical. God tells Moshe, I am coming to you. You're about to witness history. I am going to reveal myself. I'm going to give the Aseres Adibros, the Ten Commandments, the Torah, to the Jewish people, to Klali. So this is going to be an event that's going to shake the Jewish people to the core and it's going to change history forever and ever. But you know what's going to happen? You're not going to come to me, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not going to travel up to Mount Sinai. You might for a little bit for me to give you the Torah, but ultimately and fundamentally, I am coming to you. That's what God tells Moshe. Hine anochi ba'elech, I'm coming to you. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, pasuk yod, leich el ha'am, go to the people. V'kidashtem hayam u'macha v'chipsu simlosam. This is not going to be an event that's limited to me and you. It's not just a union between God and Moshe. It's not just a dialogue between God and Moshe. It's not just a love story between God and Moshe. It's not just a revelation to Moshe, but rather says, God, I'm coming to you, and not only am I coming to you, go tell the people. The people are going to be involved in this event, in Matan Torah. Go sanctify yourself. Wash your clothing. V'hiyu nechon l'yom ha'shlishi. Be prepared on day 3, ki b'yom ha'shlishi yeired Hashem l'enei kolam al ha'sinai. Kadosh Baruch Hu will descend. Yeired Hashem le'enei kolam. And this is the key word. And this word, as you may recall, is going to be the word that repeats itself over and over in the next series of psukim in Parashas Yisro. Prior to Matan Torah, the word vayered, descend, repeats itself upwards of 5 times and even closer to 10 times. And take a look and continue. This word continues on Pasuk Yudalid, page 404. And the stone Chumash, Vayered Moshe min Ha'har. Moshe descends from the mountain. Vayekadesh es Ha'am. And Moshe and the people sanctify themselves. They wash their clothing. They do everything that they're supposed to do. Keep on going and follow the psukim as they continue. And you see again, Pasuk Yud Ches, page 404. Vahar Sinai Oshon Kulon. The entire Har Sinai was completely smoking. Mipnei asher yorad olav, God descended on that mountain. Vayhi kol ha'shofar holech v'chazek mor, Moshe yedaber v'elokim yanenu mekol. And pasuk chaf, vayered Hashem al har Sinai. Again, this word continues over and over again. God descends on Mount Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe, says, I'm coming to you. And if you turn to page 406, the first word in the stone Chumash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, raid ha'ed v'am, descend, go down Moshe, warn the people, I am coming. And again in Pasuk Chavdale, Vayomre Elav Hashem, Leich Raid Ve'alisa Tavarn, you go down. Go, 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 go down. Be careful. Get ready. I am coming down to you. And in a famous essay in his classic work, Halachic Man, Rabbi Soloveitchik notes that the reason that the word vayered and raid appears over and over again is to break a very basic philosophical misunderstanding that most of the world has. And that is that when we want and desire a union with God, when a person wants to be spiritual and wants to touch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't happen by leaving this world, but it happens by just the opposite. You know what happens? We are visited by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us. And that's why Hashem says, I am coming down to you. I want a relationship with you. The way that the Torah is going to impact your life, your home, your office, your job, and everything that you do is because you are going to connect with me in this world, right here, right now. And it's not a relationship where you have to leave, but rather it's a relationship where you have to recognize that I have a relationship with you. We do this every single Shabbos. When we have Kabbalah Shabbos, what do? We don't leave the world on the holiest day. We don't escape on the holiest day. We say, Shalom Aleichem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're coming to us. L'chadodi likras kala, boyu kala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to us. That's Kabbalah Shabbos. We're accepting Shabbos. And therefore, the goal, the understanding, the most basic principle of all of Yiddishkeit, and that is what occurs at Matan Torah and Har Sinai, is that right here, right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu descends and comes to us. Let me read you from Halachic Man, just a few sentences, page 46, because there's such powerful words. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes, holiness, according to the outlook of Halacha, denotes the appearance of a mysterious transcendence in the midst of our concrete world. The descent, in quotations, the descent, that's vayered, of God, whom no thought can grasp, unto Mount Sinai. The bending down of a hidden and concealed world, and lowering it onto the face of reality. Holiness, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, does not wink at us from beyond, like some mysterious star that sparkles in the distant heavens, but appears in our actual, very real lives. That is what we represent. That's what the Torah represents. That's what Yiddishkeit represents. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us in this world. That I am being vayered. I am coming down onto the mountain. You don't have to climb to me. You don't have to leave. You don't have to run away. You don't have to separate your home life from the shul life. You don't have to separate what you do in your business from what you do at home and from what you do in shul and what you do in the Beis Medrash. It's all the same. I am here. I appear to you. I think it was the Kutzker Rebbe who was once asked as a young child, who's a very sharp man, where is God? And the Kutzker Rebbe said, he is wherever you let him in. And that's exactly what Rabbi Soloveitchik means. He is wherever you let him in. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm coming down the mountain when you come. Here I am. Vayered, 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 vayered. And Kadosh Baruch Hu stresses this relationship that I want to be close to you. I want to have this relationship with you. Thus, Parshas Yisro, Aseres Adibros, and the ultimate relationship, the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Matan Torah Har Sinai. Maimon Har Sinai is teaching us this very basic principle and foundation. With this background, I believe you could really understand Parshios Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakel, and Pekudei quite differently. This is what I believe is the precursor to understanding the Mishkan, as the Ramban writes, that in order for Matan Torah, in order for Maimar Har Sinai, in order for the Aseres Adibros to be concretized, in order to make it a reality, we needed a place, we needed a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, and that's going to be the Mishkan. But listen to a powerful Medrash. Rabbi Soloveitchik actually quotes in Halachic Man, and he connects Maimed Har Sinai to Binyan HaMishkan. And the Medrash in Medrash Rabbah, Perek Lamed Daled, quotes a dialogue that took place between God and Moshe. And Moshe had a question for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take a look at this question. Moshe said, Od Hayah Mistakel. Moshe was looking. He was wondering. B'shah Shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. When God, at the moment, commanded Moshe Rabbeinu, Aseli Mishkan, right? Our opening Psukim Parshia. Rav Asuli Mikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, build me a Mishkan. Hischil Matzmi Av Omer. Moshe started to question, to wonder. He was bewildered. Kvodo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malei Elyonim Etachtonim V'Omer Aseli Mishkan. The world is completely filled with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory. Kadosh, 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 Atah Hashem Tzos Melech Chol Haaretz Kvodo. Baruch Kvod Hashem Imkomo. God, you are everywhere, Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you want me to build this home for you? This Dalet al Dalet, this square building for you to reside in? It's counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense. How can it be that you want me to build you a home? You are up and down, here and there, everywhere. We all know the song. Kadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. How in the world can you ask me to build you such a home? Listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, and it's the same thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Bnei Israel at Matan Torah. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo kishem she'ata savor, kach ani savor. You have a different train of thought than I do. Your way of thinking is different than mine, says God to Moshe. Kach ani savor, this is what I think. Esrim keresh bitzafon, ve'esrim bidarom. There are 20 amos, 20 karashim, 20 boards in the north, 20 in the darom in the south. Shmona b'marav, 8 in the marav in the west. V'lo od, and not only that, elo she'ered v'atzamtzim shchinasi b'soch amal ama, I will constrict myself within an ama and an ama. What is this medrash saying? This medrash is speaking exactly what it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell the Jewish people at Matan Torah. You have a different idea. And this is the natural mistake that every human being makes, that God and man are separate and never shall the twain meet. And if you want to have a godly spiritual experience, it can't be in this physical world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, that's not the idea. I'm teaching you a new way to approach and to understand me, a new way to have a relationship with me. You have to invite me into your home. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. As the Mefarshim point out, that it doesn't speak in terms of the grammatical correction in the pasuk. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socha, it should say. Build me a mishkan, I will dwell in it. Says the Mefarshim, no. V'shachanti b'socham b'kol echad v'echad. I will dwell in each and every single one of you. Because the entire purpose of the Mishkan is to teach Bnei Yisrael that Hashem has a place in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a home in this land, in Olam Hazem, in the world that's physical, in the world that's full of quote-unquote schmutz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I could live here. I could have a relationship with you. You don't have to run to the outer space. You don't have to run to the fields and to the orchards and to leave your homes and your offices and your shuls. I'm in your shul, I'm in your Beis Medrash, I'm in your home. I am wherever you want me to be. And not only that, I'm going to come down on Har Sinai and I'm going to build a Mishkan to live in. And that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Moshe is the way to appreciate, to understand Judaism, to understand me, and to have a relationship with me. Let me read you again the end of a chapter in Halachic Man, where he makes this point so beautifully and so clearly. He says as follows, it is Judaism that has given the world the secret of tzimtzum, contraction. Contraction of the infinite within the finite, the transcendent within the concrete, the supernal within the empirical, and the divine within the realm of reality. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, descended on Mount Sinai, He set an eternally binding precedent that it is God who descends to man and not man who ascends to God. When He said to Moshe, and let them make me a sanctuary and I will dwell among them, He thereby revealed the awesome mystery that God contracts His divine presence in this world. Thus, that is how we understand the parshios of Yisro, Mishpatim, Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakel, Pekudei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to Moshe. Moshe is talking to us, and he's explaining to us that there's a different reality. There's a different truth. There's a different relationship that exists between me and you. And this is one of the chidushim that our religion, that the Torah, that Judaism taught to the world, and certainly speaks to us, that we don't run away from life. We don't run away from the physical. Rather, we introduce the spiritual into the physical, and that thereby uplifting everything that we have. But it's not only Rabbi Soloveitchik and Halachic Man who makes this point. I have an essay by Rabbi Shlomo Volbi, the great Mashgiach of the last generation, who in 1995 gave a lecture, Motzei Shabbos Parshas Tetzaveh, and he titled the lecture, Iker Shechina B'Tachtonim. It's not his language, it's the language of the Medrash. Iker Shechina B'Tachtonim means that the real right place, the real appropriate place for the Shechina, is B'Tachtonim. And that's what Chazal say, Iker Shechina, the main place, the main prominent place where the Shekhinah is able to reveal itself is not Be'elyonim, is not in the upper worlds. You don't see any of the great Avos Imahos. You don't see any of our greats that run away to try to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But rather, Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to them, the great Nevi'im. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to them. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes into this world. Iker Shekhinah B'Tachtonim, says Rav Volbi, is teaching us that this concept is so important, so basic, and is so misunderstood, that we often understand and believe that we have to run away and that we can't have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu here. But rather what Chazal are teaching us, he says, is that this is the place. This is where we're supposed to have a relationship with Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yered al Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, build me a Mishkan in this world. I want to constrict myself into the four walls of the Mishkan. I want to descend upon Mount Sinai. And of course, this is just the opposite of how we begin all of creation, Bereshis, and Migdal Bavel. What do? They try to climb to heaven. They try to rise and to meet and to touch and to meet and to kaviyachal fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they misunderstood this, as did all religions prior to HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself to Bnei Yisrael and Matan Torah. I come down to you. You don't have to run away. You don't have to separate the physical from the spiritual, but rather the spiritual is introduced to the physical, and it's through the physical that you will uplift the spiritual. And Rav Volbi, in that lecture and in that piece, says that's exactly the reason why there are five parshios of Mishkan, Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakal, Pekudei, to inculcate and to concretize and to force us to realize and to understand that this is where we have a relationship with Hashem, that it's in this world, because naturally human beings and man have the understanding and the default that it's not here where I could greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes we think that it's only in shul, it's only in Beis Medrash, it's only B'Shas Tefillah that I could have a kasher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's false. That's wrong. And the Torah begins by teaching us that in Parshas Truma Tetzaveh Kisisa Fayakal Bakudeh. We need five Parshios, and we need these five Parshios dafka now to explain this to us, to make sure that we understand and to appreciate it. I've mentioned before, but the Sfas Emes makes the point that the parshas of the Mishkan are always in the month of Adar. And the first parsha that we read in Chodesh Adar is Parshas Truma. And the Sfas Emes questions why that is. And he explains that if you look at the word Adar, the Shoresh, the root of the word Adar is Dar, live, Dira, a place. And that is what's taking place in Chodesh Adar. Kadosh Baruch Hu is coming to make a Shechina B'tachton, Medira, a home, a presence in this world. And in Chodesh Adar, we feel a Kadosh Baruch Hu's closeness, because when we were close to being annihilated, when Bikesh Hamal Lahashmiru Laharages Kol Ayehudim, Minar V'adzakin, Tafinash Mushlal Lavos, and we saw a Kadosh Baruch Hu come through Mordechai and Esther's efforts and heroic efforts to bind Klal Yisrael together and to bring us together, we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu does rest here. And it's in this month where Iker Shekhinah B'Tachton, where we read the Parshios of Truma Tetzaveh Kisisa V'Yakal Pekudei, it's dafka now that we're able to appreciate the month of Adar, the Chodesh of Dar, the Chodesh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to live with us. And the Aleph stands for Alufo Shel Olam, says the Sfas Emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is number one, numero uno, Aleph, the Aleph Shel Olam. Is Dar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives here, lives in this world, and that explains Rabbi Salvechik, Rav Volbi, and Rav Volbi quotes from Shimshon Frol Hirsch in this piece in 19 letters, the famous book that he wrote, where Shimshon Frol Hirsch also stresses that this is the key, this is the point, this is the message of the Mishkan, and this is the reason why the Torah goes to such great lengths to develop, to elucidate, to explain, and to give us so many psukim. So when we learn the parshios of Truma Tetzaveh Kisisa V'Yakal Pekudei, when we lane these parshios, and when we're in the month of Adar, so yes, we could get caught up in the technicalities, and sometimes we ask ourselves, what does the Torah need to tell us this? And every single detail, to the minutia of the details of every single one of the Klei HaMishkan and the Big Day Kahuna, but there's a bigger picture, there's something much larger that's happening. And when we read these parshios, and we're living these weeks of parshios Truma Tetzaveh Kisisa V'Yakal Pekudei, the goal is that we're supposed to think cognitively and to open our hearts and for our neshamas to understand and to realize the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, in our own homes, wherever we may be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to live in our home in our guf. V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti besochem. So that is the challenge, that's the blessing, that's the beauty of the parshas of the Mishkan, is to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu emerging, living, dwelling, descending into our world, into our homes, to have a relationship with us. But I want to take this one step further. If you look in Parshas Truma, and if you start Parshas Truma, of all the Klei HaMikdash and the Mishkan that we begin with, it's the Aron. The Aron is the first. And if you take a look on page 446 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, Parshas Truma, it is in the first Aliyah. The reason seemingly that the Aron is given the most prominence is because the Aron, of course, houses the Luchos, the tablets, the Aseres Adibros, and it's the most important, a shul, a Beis HaKnesses without an Aron Kodesh, without a Sefer Torah, doesn't have the same quality, doesn't have the same sanctity, doesn't have the same Kedushas HaMikdash and Kedushas Beis HaKnesses as it does if it didn't. And the same thing, of course, is true when it comes to the Mishkan. The Mishkan without the Aron, without the Luchos HaEdos, is not the same Mishkan. So therefore, the Aron is given the most prominence and is listed first, and certainly from a chronological perspective, it would seem that the Aron carries the most significance and the most weight. But there is something unique about the Aron from the other Klei HaMishkan. And if you take a look, there are actually two unique aspects to the Klei HaMishkan. And this is a point that Rav Hirsch makes, as well as the Netziv, each of them in their commentaries independently. And it's a point that I think really piggybacks on the point that Rabbi Soloveitchik and Rav Volbi make regarding the presence of the Mishkan in this world. If you take a look on page 446, Perek Chavhei, Pasuk Tes Vav, verse 15, the Torah tells us something very, very unique, different, and what is an anomaly of all of the other Klei HaMishkan. The Torah says, "B'tabos ha'aron yu'abadim lo yasuru mimenu." We are all familiar that the Mishkan was erected and disassembled multiple times as the Bnei Yisrael moved from encampment to encampment. And in order to carry the Mishkan and the Kalim of the Mishkan, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to build and to erect badim. Badim are staves, poles. And these poles were used for the Levium to carry the Klei HaMishkan from place to place. And any time Bnei Yisrael would move and would travel, they would place the badim, these staves, inside of the actual Kli, of the particular Klei HaMishkan that was being transported. And when it arrived in its particular new home, its new stop, the staves would be removed from the Klei HaMishkan, and then they would be erected once again in the stop, in the spot where they were resting and where they were encamped. However, the pasuk that we just read says something completely different about the staves, about the badim of the Aron. The pasuk tells us, "B'tabos ha'aron yu abadim lo yasuru mimenu." The staves shall remain in the rings of the Aron Kodesh, and they will not be removed. The Ramban, Nachmanides, commenting on this pasuk, says that it's a lav, a negative commandment, an isur d'oraisa, to remove the staves, to remove the actual poles from the Aron. And of course, the question is begging, why? Why in the world would the staves, would the badim of the Aron remain in place when the Mishkan and when the Aron was stationary? If the purpose of the badim were only to be there for transport purposes, why was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe to tell Bnei Israel that the badim of the Aron lo yasuru mimenu, they shall never be removed? That means wherever Bnei Israel were, any stop where they were, the badim remained in place. If you take a look, and if there's a picture of the Aron that you have, and many Chumashim, it has a picture of the Aron, you'll see that the staves, the poles, were kept on either side. Two staves were kept on either side of the Aron. And it's a strange type of idea and thought and pasuk and commandment and lav that they have to remain in place. So what indeed is the pshat? So both the Netziv in his commentary Hamek Davar, as well as Reb Shimshon Frol Hirsch in his commentary Torah, make the very same point. And it piggybacks, as I just mentioned, on the point of Rav Volbi and Rav Soloveitchik understanding the Mishkan. And they say the following thing. What was the Aron? What did the Aron represent? And the Malbim makes this point as well in his commentary to Parshas Truma, that the entire purpose of the Aron was that it symbolized, represented Torah. The Luchos were housed, the Shivrei Luchos, the broken Luchos, were housed inside of the Aron. The whole purpose of the Aron was to be a symbolism of the importance of the integrity of the heightened stature of Torah, of the Aseres HaDibros. Everything that revolves around the Jewish people must be the Torah. Kutcher Brichu, V'Yisrael, V'Oraisa Charu. Without the Torah, we are not a people. The Jew without the Torah is not a Jew. And the more the Jew is studying the Torah, and how the Torah changes the Jew, Hamor Sheba Machzira Lemutav, the Torah and the impact of the Torah is such a powerful tool. It's what saves the Jew. It's what allows Jewish communities to thrive and to survive. That is what the Aron represents. And therefore, Rav Hirsch and the Netziv both say that the reason that the Badim, that the staves, the poles remained with the Aron is to teach us that wherever the Jew goes, the Torah goes with the Jew. It can never remain in the same place. Jews, lo yaleinu, as we have seen, and this is a foreshadowing, will go to Golos. Golos after Golos will be a Golos of Yavan, will be Golos of Paros and Madai. It will be Golos of Mitzrayim. It will be Golos of Rome. Wherever the Jew goes, they will go with the Torah. The Torah always has its staves with it, and never ever will be we separated, divorced, divided from the Torah. And thus the symbolism, explains Rav Hirsch and the Netziv, is to teach us just this point, that the Torah will never stop and will never only remain in one place, but has to be brought from shuls to shuls and from schools to schools, yeshivas to kolim to homes, to kitchens, to office buildings, to trains. Wherever the Jew goes, the Torah is being carried with them. Allow me to read you the beautiful words of Rav Hirsch in his commentary on the Torah on the pasuk. This pasuk, pasuk tesvav, b'tabos ha'aron, yu al harbadim lo yasur menen. And you could almost feel Rav Hirsch writing in Germany to assimilated Jews, to people who are becoming sort of disenfranchised from Judaism. And he's fighting the reform. And Rav Hirsch writes, the badim, the means of carrying the ark, symbolically represent the command and the mission to carry the ark and its contents, if it becomes necessary, away from the precincts of its present position. Meaning, even if we have to move the Aron from the Mishkan, from the Mikdash, we will carry the Aron and the Torah and the Luchos, which are housed in it, with us. The command that these means of transport may never be lacking is to emphasize in our minds the fact that from the very beginning, that means from the time that the Aron was built, erected, crafted, made, it must be made clear that this Torah and its mission is in no way bound or confined to the place or existence at any time of the temple and the sanctuary. In Rav Hirsch's powerful sentence, he says just that. That it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yorad al Har Sinai. It's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzamtzem himself in the Mishkan. But don't think that it's limited to the Mishkan. Don't think that we're limited to the Shul. We're not just limited to our holy sanctuaries and our holy places of Torah and Tefillah. Because the Torah has to move with the Jew. And we go to shul, we study the Torah, we learn the Torah, we dive into Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we take it home with us. We bring the Torah with us wherever we go. When we're on a train, when we're exercising, when we're cooking, when we're sleeping. And that, says the Baal HaTosfos, is the reason that you only wake one Birchas HaTorah every single day. You make a Birchas HaTorah in the morning once. Tosfos Maseches Brachos, Daf Yud Aleph, asks, really? Why, when it comes to other mitzvos, every time I perform a mitzvah, I make a bracha right before? You go into the sukkah 2 times, 3 times, 5 times a day. Every time you enter, you'll make the bracha of Leishev Basukkah. How come when I study in the morning, I open, I go to a shir, I should start making a Birchas HaTorah? I turn on my phone, I'm going to listen to a shir in the afternoon, I'm going to make another bracha on the Torah. And if I'm going to listen to another shir in the afternoon, I'm going to make a bracha on the Torah. If I have a chavrus, I'm going to make another bracha on the Torah. If I'm saying Tehillim, I should make another bracha on the Torah. Says Tosfos, why? Why don't we make it every single time we have a chavrusa, a shir, or we're listening to do something with Torah? And the Baal HaTosfos explains, because one is never stopping from learning Torah. The Torah is always with you latently, or wherever you're acting properly and appropriately. You're acting upon the study that began in the day. Therefore, there's no new bracha that's required. The bracha that you made in the morning is going to continue from the morning to the afternoon to the night, even when you're not learning, because you're carrying the Torah, the staves of the shir, of the Torah that you learned in the morning, the bracha that you said in the morning, is continuing with you wherever you go. There's never a separation. There's never a divide. There's never a moment of rest, of silence, of quiet, because a person acts on the Torah that they do when they're walking. A person acts on the Torah that they study when they're in the supermarket. Whenever they are doing, they are acting and continuing the Torah study that they are doing. Thus says Rav Hirsch, this is why only when it comes to this Keli of the Mishkan, only when it comes to the Aron Kodesh, not when it comes to the other Kelim, is there a lav, is there a negative commandment teaching us lo yasuru mimenu, because the Jew carries the Torah wherever the Jew goes. And how proof is this? How strong is the proof for this? Because look at us today, where we are, Tav Shin Pei Aleph, 2021. The Jew, wherever he or she is, in any single community, it's the Torah that binds us together. It's the glue that allows the continuity of the Jewish people from Matan Torah, from Maamar Har Sinai, upwards of 3,000 years ago. And if you look in various communities, it's the communities that are dedicated to Torah study. It's communities that are where Torah is at the core and it's a value. Those Torah communities flourish. Those communities develop. Those communities grow. Those communities are the source and are the power and are the fire that keep the community going. Communities, institutions where Torah is not the key value, it's not the key core, where it's not the essence, where it's not the bumper sticker, those communities unfortunately wither away, and we see it in our own flesh, and we see it in our own eyes. And you can look around the world and you see where the Torah is at the core, where yeshivas, where there are kolalim, where there are schools, where there are shuls that are focusing on Torah study. It's those places that continue to thrive and to grow. And thus, prophetically, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who told Bnei Yisrael, lo yasuru mimenu, never, ever, ever let those badim go. We are always carrying the Torah. A Jew carries the Torah from Matan Torah, a Jew brings it to Mitzrayim, a Jew brings the Torah with him to Spain and to Europe and to the ghettos and to camps and to homes. It doesn't make a difference where we are, the Torah stays with us. And that's really the message of Matan Torah. That's the message of the Mishkan. It's the message of Parshas Truma Tetzaveh Kisisa Vayakel Pekudeh. That the Torah is here. It's in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. It's the Mishkan that is in this world. Ikur Shechina B'tachtonim, as Rav Volbi says, here is where the Shechina is. This is where I want to be. I want to constrict myself into the Mishkan. And I want you to take the Torah. I want you to take the Aron. I want you to take the Luchos with you wherever you go. And that's the reason why Mefarshim explain on page 446, the first word that is used when explaining the command to build the Aron is Ve'asu Aron. Asu is in plural. If you take a look throughout the rest of the Parsha, Parshas Truma, do you know what word is used to say to build the other Kelim? Ve'asisa. In singular. Take a look. 448. V'asisa shulchan. In the singular. Page 450. When it comes to the menorah, v'asisa menorah. And you, Moshe, will build the menorah. And this word v'asisa appears over and over again. Page 454. When it comes to the krushim, v'asisa sakrushim. And you will make the planks for the tabernacle. The word ve'asisa in the singular, page 458. Ve'asisa paroches, you in the singular will build, will make the partition. Perek chavzayin pasuk aleph, v'asisas ha-mizbeach. And you, Moshe, will build, will erect a mizbeach. On page 460, when it comes to the chatzer, ve'asisa es chatzer ha-mishkan. And you, Moshe, shall make the courtyard of the tabernacle. The first of the Kalim. The only Kli HaMishkan, which is written in the plural, Ve'asu Aron Atze Shitim, back on page 446, and you, plural, will build an Aron out of Atze Shitim, out of acacia wood. And the Mefarshim explain that the reason why only the Aron is built by all of Klal Yisrael, collectively, and not just by Moshe, is to teach us that we all have a chelek, we all have a portion in the building of the Aron. Every Jew, every male, every female, every child, every Jew, the moment he or she leaves the uterus, it's at that point that we have a chelek in the Torah, v'asu aron. We are charged as a unit, as a klal, as a nation, to build the aron. Torah is not left for one group. Torah is not left for one person. It's not just for Moshe. We all have to build the Aron. As the Rambam writes, there are three kesarim. There are three crowns. There's a crown of melucha. There's a crown of kahuna. There's a crown of kingship. There's a crown of kuna. Those are unique. A melech has to come from a certain tribe. A kohen has to come from a certain family. But there's a third keser, keser kahuna, and the keser Torah. And the keser Torah, kol harotza yitol yavov yitol. Anybody who wants a portion, anybody who wants to be connected to the Torah could come, could grab, could touch, could take, to taste, could be connected to the Torah. That's the pshat in this pasuk. V'asu aron atzei shitim. So I believe, as we enter the parashas of the Mishkan, Chodesh Adar, the month of Dira, the month of Iker Shechina B'Tachtonim, the month where we see Nahafochu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to show us so carefully, so closely, that He's so connected to us. That's the reason why the Bnei Yisrael explains that we shake a grager. The grager's on the bottom. We're holding it from below because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming into this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. He's living in this world. And that's the Mishkan. That's Chodesh Adar. That's the Binyan HaMishkan. And as we read these parashas HaShavu, it's so important to think and to contemplate and to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. He's with us wherever we are, wherever we go, wherever the Jew is. Not only do we grab the Torah and take the Torah and move it from place to place, from country to country, from continent to continent, from galus to galus, ultimately bringing it back to Eretz Yisrael, b'siyata d'shmai, with the coming of Mashiach, but to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells with us, lives with us, and wants to make a home in our guf, in our bodies, as the pasuk says, v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham b'soch kol echer v'echer. We can never forget this. We have to realize this and have to recognize how important the Torah is teaching us this lesson, to never forget that I am here with you. Imo Anochi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to dwell with you. I want to live with you. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yeirei Har Sinai. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu descends on Mount Sinai. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to build a Mishkan in this world. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to have these staves, the poles, the badim in the Aron, to constantly be moving with us, to teach us and to show us that here I am. You don't have to run away. As the Pasuk says in Parashas Nitzavim, Lo Be'ever Hayom, the Torah is not on the other way of the sea. Ki karov elecha davar beficha ubilvavcha la'asosa. The Ramban understands, as other Mefarshim Rashi, that those psukim are talking about the Torah. The Torah is here. You don't have to fly. You don't have to climb. You don't have to jump hula hoops to get to the Torah. The Torah is wherever we are. And it's our opportunity to connect to the Torah. Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zochet to the rebuilding, not just of the Mishkan, but of the Mikdash. B'mher v'yameinu, return to Eretz Yisrael. A happy Chodesh Adar to everybody, where we're zochet to see Iker Shechina B'tachtonim and to appreciate the parashas that we're reading. Wishing you a great day, a wonderful week, and a freilichen Purim.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.